Hey, we're going to continue our series, The 2020 Vision, and I want to have you watch this video first to set it up. So we are in week four of our series, The 2020 Vision. We're looking at, with clarity, where God would have us to go as a church beginning now through the year 2020. And we talked about vision kind of being the picture within the frame, the detail of kind of what that picture looks like for us as a church. And so we've been unpacking that over the last couple of weeks. Encourage you, if you've missed any, to go online on our website or get our mobile app. There is all the messages so you can catch up with us. We'll kind of recap as we go here. But to start off, I want to do something I've never really done before. Is that okay? You guys good with that? I want you just to bow your heads, close your eyes, don't fall asleep. That's not what the exercise is about. But I want you just to imagine with me, imagine it's tomorrow morning. You're dressed, you're walking into the kitchen, and your favorite breakfast, you know what that is. Imagine it's all prepared right in front of you. Ready to go, ready for you to consume. Now, what would that be for you? Don't say it out loud, but just imagine that. For some of you, maybe you like to support the city that smells like Cheerios, so maybe that's Cheerios, Buffalo. Maybe it's eggs, pancakes, oatmeal, French toast, you name it. Now picture that. Now I want you to add something fun to that meal. If it's coffee, add that extra sugar or that creamer that you just love. Or maybe if it's eggs, add cheese to that. Sprinkle right over top. Or maybe you like pancakes. How about some type of berry on the side or on top of that? Maybe blueberry or strawberry. Just the smells of that, whatever that is. And you know what? Add bacon to anything. It makes it that much better. Just add bacon, lots of bacon, just dump it on there, right on the side, bacon, the smell of that. And then add your other favorite thing. For me, maybe it means for you, adding that cinnamon roll with the glaze. You know that one that you pop before you put into the oven? Like the Christmas morning for me, that's what breakfast usually is. Can't you just smell it? Can't you just taste it? All right, you guys can open your eyes. Come back to reality for a second. Some of you are like, no, I want to stay. And if someone still has their eyes closed, they probably fell asleep. So just nudge them there. But what you just experienced is a gift from God. The fact that you were able to imagine, that you were able to picture something else, you were able to envision something else, is a gift. It's a gift of God that's often overlooked, that is so crucial for our spiritual journeys, the health of us growing in our relationship with God. Being able to look into the future. In fact, I defined it this way. Vision is the ability to move out of the moment into a new reality. That's what you just did. Think about kids. If you're a grandparent, if you have young kids, think about back when you were a kid. I love just watch my kids. There's something awesome about the imagination of a child that just plays. You don't even need to get them anything. Like, it's crazy. You give my kids a box versus an expensive gift, they'll go for the box the whole time. Just an empty refrigerator box. The imagination. And why is it as we grow older, as we grow up, get more mature, we lose our imaginations? People say, hey, come back to reality. That's not real. Like if the Bible says that we're to have faith as a child, shouldn't imagination be just as much a part of our lives spiritually as it is when we're kids? I'm not saying you have to be like dressed in your underwear with a cape behind you and running around as an adult. Nobody wants that. Been there, done that. But the reality is imagination. God has given you and me the gift of an imagination for a purpose. He doesn't want us to lose that as we get older. Like, it's that much more important as we get older, I believe. Because life's hard. That it's easy to get run down with the kind of get into the ruts of living and we stop dreaming. But God wants us to live in the present with a future, with a vision in mind. Every single one of us, you have that. That's what we're talking about today. In fact, the first week of the series, we talked about the importance of vision. We talked about a passage that we often read, but did we let it sink into the heart? Listen to Proverbs 29, verse 18. It says this: without a vision, people perish. What's your vision? What is your personal vision in life? What is that thing that you have the ability to transport yourself into the future to say, you know what, this is where I am today, but this is what God is calling me to do. I don't know the whole picture. That's the great part about imagination. You can make it up as you go, but God says, I have a plan that I want to reveal to you as you go, that there's something even greater than what you have, but I put this in you and created you this way for a purpose. So without a vision, people perish, or another way of saying is this: without vision, people follow lesser gods, lowercase g. They follow lesser things. When I say that, I mean it this way. We wander. If we don't have a clear vision, we wander. We drift. And the reality is we have this tendency to move towards what's easiest, not what we desire most. That's a good one. You want to write that one down. We drift. We have a tendency to move towards what is easiest, not what we desire most, because sometimes we don't feel like it. And if someone doesn't have a vision or a goal in mind, it's easy to just give up even in some cases and move on to something else and forget that and just stop moving, progressing toward that. Because why? Because the journey to the goal is often filled with complications and difficulties. It's true. Anything that's worth pursuing is difficult to get to. And so this is huge as it relates to our spiritual health and growth as a church family, and us individually as followers of Jesus. So this idea of filled with complications and the importance of having a vision, let me give you an example of this in Scripture. We're going to learn from a passage that you may not even have heard of or thought about before. In the Old Testament times, the people of God, Israel, they would celebrate together these festivals. In fact, this past summer, we talked about some of those festivals. We did the series called Backyard Barbecue. Remember? We talked about these celebrations that they'd have. They'd gather together, and often these festivals, they gather in the city of Jerusalem. And the city of Jerusalem, if you think about it, Scripture tells us, and you sing songs as you're growing up as a kid if you grew up in the church, the city of Jerusalem is a city on a hill. It is, even today. It's a city on a hill. And it took, as people would go to these festivals, it took a ton of time, a ton of energy for people to get everything together and then go to these festivals up this hill to the city. And it wasn't just them. Like, just, you know, oh, let's book a ticket, let's book a plane, let's book a subway, No. They had their donkey, and they had to bring all their stuff with them. They had to bring all their kids, no matter what ages. They had to bring all their supplies. They had to take caravans. I'm not talking the kind that has like an entertainment system with a DVD player and headphones and all this. Caravans, stinky donkeys. The deluxe donkeys didn't even have any headphone jacks. Like, they had to go up this hill to get to the city. Hot, dusty, tiresome, not easy. And it sounds like a nightmare to me to go to this festival. Is it worth the energy to get to this destination? This festival to celebrate with others. And so to help with the journey, this is what they did. The people of God, they sang songs. Did you know that? As they traveled from wherever they lived, no matter how many miles, and the end ended in this city on top of a hill called Jerusalem, they sang songs. In fact, you can see the songs for yourself or sing them yourselves if you want to as you look in the book of Psalms. Psalms chapters 120 through 134. In fact, if you have a Bible or a phone or a Bible in the chair in front of you, I'm not going to look at all of them, but sometime today, just kind of look through those. They're short, but those are songs that they would sing on the way to Jerusalem. In fact, the title above the passages in those chapters is, they're called Songs of Ascent. As they climbed up this hill, which was probably a mountain in some cases for some people, they sang these songs. Now, some of you have kids, so that when you go on long trips, they start singing songs. This is the song that never ends. It goes on and on. Sorry, now that's going to be stuck in your head forever. But these people didn't sing that song. They didn't sing 99 bottles of beer on the wall or whatever you want to put as far as the drink in there. They sang these songs of ascent. Maybe you've heard of one of these. One that goes like this. Listen, Psalm 121. I lift my eyes up to the mountain. Where does my help come from? My help comes from you, maker of heaven. You know that song? You ever heard that song before? Growing up in church, maybe some of you? It's as though they're singing, dear God, help me. Like, we're about to take this long journey to Jerusalem with loud, stinky, smelly animals, crazy kids, tired legs, I'm old, but the new Jerusalem, this celebration we're going to, God, we know that you're going to be there, and it's going to be a celebration with all your people together, and I can't wait to get there. I know you're going to give me the endurance to make this tough journey so that no matter how hard and steep the hill is going to be to get there, I know that you will make it easier for me because you are with us. Help us. That's the context of that passage. It's the walk to that place, not the trials in life necessarily. It's that journey, the ascent to that festival in Jerusalem. Interesting. And the rest, the other 14 chapters are the same. These are the songs that they would sing to pass the time, to remember, to instill vision of where they were going. And they do this together. It was as though they were imagining together through song where they were going to be. In the presence of all the believers in the city of Jerusalem inside the courts. In fact, listen to this particular passage. Psalm 122 says this, will be on the screens. I rejoiced with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet are standing in your gates, Jerusalem. They're imagining this. We're standing in your gates. Jerusalem is built like a city that is closely compacted together. So can you imagine with me? Use your imagination again. They're trekking up this huge hill. They're singing these songs because they're overwhelmed. They're tired. The kids are complaining. You name it. And what do? They imagine together through song. That's what they did. That's what these psalms are all about. And they sang basically, God, we love the idea of being in your temple, being with your people. That's gonna push us on to go to the next step and the next step and the next step. That's what this is about. So the vision carried them, and the vision in our lives that God gives us carries you. It carries me. Do you have vision? Do you have vision for your life? Do you have a destination, a plan, not an end plan, but where God have you next, something that excites you, that energizes you? Because that's what this message is all about. See, vision inspires us. Vision catapults us. Vision moves us to do things we wouldn't normally do. It like fuels us, it energizes us. It lifts us out of the ruts of the complications of life as we journey through life. It reminds us that this isn't the destination. This is a step in the process. Some of you need to tap into that imagination and be praying, God, would you give me more clarity on the vision that you have for me in this season of my life? And then the next season, and then the next season. This is what we're talking about. And then, listen, they talked about the specific vision in this passage we just read. They said, quote, that Jerusalem is built like a tightly compact city. Some of you are like, I hate cities. Like, I don't want to go to New York City. Like, the concrete jungle, people everywhere, like this, and the subway. And some of you are like, I have space issues. I want nothing to do with that. That doesn't sound like heaven to me. That sounds like the exact opposite. But in the context of people here in Jerusalem, think in terms of how they used to live. They didn't have access to everything right away, medical supplies and needs and education and all these different things. They had to travel to get stuff. Sometimes like miles and miles and miles. But for them, Jerusalem, the city, was like a heaven because everything was together. Where all their physical, spiritual, relational, and emotional needs were met. Because everyone was close in proximity. It was a place where everything It was a place of order, and it's a place where everyone and everything had a place that you could just get it. It's right there. You don't have to travel forever to get to it. You needed medical supplies? You got it. You needed food? Right there. Water? Right over there. Education? Oh, there's a teacher over there. Just go talk with him for a little bit. Like, it brought everything together. It was about wholeness, which is what we're talking about as we talk about this series and the vision that we have. Their vision carried them. Their vision energized them as they were on the journey to get there, up this hill. And this, in some cases, what seemed like a mountain for some people. And they could, as they were reimagining, envisioning this, the idea of being in that place, they were, if you will, smelling the cinnamon bun rolls, the spiritual cinnamon buns with the glaze on top, and saying, I can't wait to take part in that. That's what was going on in this picture. This is what they're picturing in their mind. So back to today. What does this have to do with us now? Well, I hope you're starting to see, as we've talked over the last 3 weeks in the series, about the vision that God has been giving us as a church, Watermark Wesleyan, as we have three campuses, one unified church, on mission to see God's kingdom come. And we've been talking about the idea of the 2020 vision and clarity, that God is pushing us and calling us and encouraging us to step out, to step into new areas for us personally, but also as a church. And we've talked about the pursuit of wholeness, right? The idea that our goal is to be whole in Christ, that we would be disciples who find life to the full in him, that we would be people who are full physically, spiritually, relationally, and emotionally. That's what a disciple is, someone who lives life to the full, being whole in Jesus. And as we talked about that, we also talked about the strategy and how we do that, with that being save, heal, train, and send. That we are called to save people who are lost. That's why Jesus said, hey, go make disciples. That's why he gave us his spirit. He said, you're more effective if I give you my spirit, so it's not just me, but it's my spirit in all who believe. Now, Jesus could have stayed, but can you imagine how long that line would have been? You think the line for Santa is long. Like, I want to talk to Jesus. Like, he could have stayed, but he said, no, I'm going to mobilize this army for me who can go everywhere and see and represent who I am by the power of my spirit. So to save those who are lost, to heal those who are saved, that there's many of us that we go through life and things happen to us, things that we cause upon ourselves, whether it's bad decisions or circumstances, or that other people cause us the sin that we just talked about early in the service, that ripples through creation because of our selfishness. It ripples through our relationships. We're called as a church to not just help people come to know who Christ is, but to bring freedom to people who are stuck in a moment of hurt, of pain, to help them move beyond that, to find healing in Christ. And often, God uses us in our pains to encourage other people in theirs. And we see how God redeems our stories for other people and walk with them as they then do the same and the same. That's how God works. And beyond that, not just healing, but training to then say, we want to help people understand what it means to know the Bible, not just in their head, but in their heart, to live it out every single day so people would say, there's something different about how you live in love. And that's when we say and share the hope that we have in Christ, that they see that watermark seal that's on us, the love of Jesus that when held up to the light, the maker is identified to them in us because we no longer live, but he lives in me and you. To then not just take that knowledge, but then to go be sent. Every single one of us is sent, as Jesus said, go make disciples. Go be disciple makers. Doesn't mean you have to be a great preacher or teacher. It means using your gifts, your passions, who you are, your quirks, to love people where they're at, to show them my love and then walk with them, to know how to be a follower of me. And so we've been talking about this and understanding that we are all missionaries everywhere we go, that we are all people who are called in the workplaces and the schools and our families and the environments we go to be on mission with God to bring about his kingdom and tell others about Jesus' love. Are you tracking with me? Because that's what the last 3 weeks have been. this is the vision that we have, and there's not a lot of churches talking about this or doing this well. We said, this is a non-negotiable. This is what we're about. We invite everyone to be a part of this process. Save, heal, train, send. Save, heal, train, send. And it's all connected with Jesus in the very heart of that, because that's who Jesus was. That he came to set the captives free. That he came to save the lost, you and me. That he came to tell others about what it means to follow Christ and to walk with people to make disciples who make disciples. That's where we get it from. And as we look at this, we've talked about practically what that means for us as a church and how we're going to begin a healing center across our campuses that's available for us to heal people emotionally, spiritually, to walk with them. And then a couple weeks ago we talked about Watermark U, and the week before as well. Watermark U, where we want to actually have a training center where we can actually have people not just have information, but transformation to live out and apply what they're learning about leadership and biblical literacy. That's available for all of us in our community as well. But we've just scratched the surface, because vision inspires us. Vision calls us to move. But how do you get vision? How do you get vision? It's not something you just get instantly, right? God gave me a vision, boom, I got it. Sometimes it happens like that, but not all the time. Some of you have a vision to do something great. Maybe you have a vision to become a doctor. You can't like just walk into a hospital when you turn 18 and then just start performing surgery on somebody. You have to walk and take one step, one day at a time. And that takes over a course of years as you take the next step and the next step and the next, until God says, oh, here we go, you're ready, here we go. But it takes time and energy and effort. And it can be hard, just like a journey up a hill, climbing up a hill to the city. But a solid vision in the difficulty, in the hard, in the day-to-day, in the step-by-step-by-step, a vision carries you. And that's the importance of having a vision. See, as we talk about the 2020 vision, I dream of a day where 100% of our people, 100% of you here at South Creek, understand your vision that God has for your life. And that you're walking in that. That as you become more and more whole in Christ, that God will be able to give you clarity of mind and heart so that you could take that next step each day. And pretty soon you're just walking into the incredible plan that God has for you. In your passion, in your gift set, things that energize you, and your vision carries you. But to get there, it takes focus, it takes planning, and it takes us in our responsibility to do what we can, trusting God will do what he can. Did you hear that? It's a partnership. God's not just going to give you a vision and say, okay, you're good. He's going to give you a vision, and then he's going to say, now you got to work with me. You got to be sensitive to my voice. You have to know who I am and how and where I positioned you for this time, for this season. God didn't teleport the people to Jerusalem who were walking to the city on a hill. He didn't teleport them. No, they climbed. And so that's what we want to do. That's what we encourage everyone to do, is to climb every day. Let me just unpack this. We've been talking about this, even though you haven't known about it the last 3 weeks. Climb is not the vision. Climb is the tool and the acronym to get to the vision, which is wholeness. You tracking? Wholeness is the vision. Disciples who are whole in Christ. Climb is a tool to get to that you and I individually need to do every day to become followers of Christ who live life to the full. See, climb stands for five things. We're challenging everyone every day to do these five things. We talked about this week one. Number one, connect with Christ. Every day, we're asking you to connect with Christ, to abide in him. As you do that, you gain the mind and the heart of Christ, to love God with your soul. L stands for learn something new. That's what we talked about a couple weeks ago, right? To love God with your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. With your mind. And then CLI, I stands for invest in key relationships. That was what we talked about last week. To love your neighbor as you love yourself. That to pour in, that your ceiling would be the bottom floor of the person that you're pouring into. That they would start from where you left off, the next generation, the next person down. to always be learning, to have a mind, and to have a heart that's passing on the information, investing in others. And then today we're talking about move toward the vision. Just like the people of Israel, move towards Jerusalem. We are called to move toward the vision, to love God with all of our heart. Remember, vision inspires passion. That's our heart. Keep moving with your heart. And next week, we're going to talk about better your physical health. Now, between now and then, because you have a week, that means the stash of hidden Doritos that you have in the house, feel free to consume those this week. Or, you know, Halloween's coming up, candy, feel free, parents, eat all that stuff before next week. Because we're going to talk about better your physical health next week. But this idea, climb, is nothing new. You know why it sounds so familiar? Climb is basically an acrostic for what Jesus said, greatest commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's what climb is. That's the journey we're going. The tool to get to the vision of wholeness. We're climbing. Each one of us is to climb each day. What's the vision? What's the song that God wants you to sing to get there? What does that look like for you? See, I want to be real clear. We do not earn our salvation. We do not earn our wholeness. It is a gift of God through Jesus. It's nothing we don't deserve it. And this is why we call wholeness salvation. This idea that God came to earth, died for us, not just to gain salvation so that when we die, we go to heaven, so that we can experience his life here on earth now. Bringing heaven to earth now. The fullness of God now. Salvation is now, not a destination when we leave this place. So God, that's the gift of God. It's nothing we can do. And in fact, Paul writes in Colossians chapter 2, he says this, for in Christ and all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and in Christ you have been brought to fullness. Or in other words, you are made complete, the original language says. You are brought to fullness in Christ. You are brought to wholeness in Christ. He is the head over every power and authority. It's because of him. He also wrote, Paul wrote in Philippians, he says, so work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you, right? Enabling you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. See, it's God working in you to have wholeness, to have salvation. But beyond that, God has given, here's an example. God has given us a body. It's a gift. But we can also work out that gift he's given us. But it's not a means to the body. Does that make sense? So we can't earn salvation. That's a grace offering, a gift to us. In the same way, but God says, here, I'll give you your salvation, your life that you have now. Work it out. Use it. Get better with it. Just like we do our physical bodies. And it takes work. It's often difficult, but the return is so much better. Put it into use, into practice. And God is working in us to enable us to have wholeness. But he's not going to force you to connect with him every day. He's not going to force you to invest in other people. He says, but do these things. Love me with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Then you'll really experience the fullness of that gift, not just a piece of it that I've given you, the salvation, the wholeness in Christ. And so we looked at the first 3 weeks climb up to this point. Today I want to focus on the M, which is move toward the vision. We've talked about the history of that, the songs of ascent, which is what the Israelites sang. But what do I mean by that? Well, the vision that God has given you, I'm asking you this question. What is your passion? What is that holy disturbance that God has given you, that thing that makes you mad, sad, or glad? That thing you feel like, man, I was created to do this, that I have a, if I don't do this, I'm not living life the way that God intended. What is that? And how do you get that? It's that calling, that thing that drives you. That's an easy question to ask. It's a hard question to answer. See, our vision is that 100% of our church family would be engaged in understanding how God has made them, understanding their wholeness to be able to move toward their vision more and more each day, to climb towards that thing in them that God made them to do. And I believe it's not like a destination. It's bigger than God has, even in that realm. If you ever go to some place and you get there and you're like, wow, this is so much bigger than I thought. Physical space, Same thing, God opens the door. Next thing you know, wow, this opportunity is bigger than I even imagined. That's how his kingdom works. So many of our ministries around here, in fact, across our campuses, we have 80 ministries that are running, that are active, going for all of us as family members of this body, but also for our community, that a lot of them started by people who had a holy disturbance, a vision of going from here to there, that this is where we need to be to help this people group or to this age or this whatever it may be. And so my challenge to you is to keep dreaming bigger. Keep imagining. If you have a vision that you can reach without God, it's not big enough. It's not big enough. There's no faith involved. You can do that. God is asking you to trust him, to seek him. Have you ever prayed? That's a great place to begin. God, help me understand the vision you have for me in this season of my life. What does that look like? Help me understand that. We as a church want to walk with you to help discover that. And that's part of why Watermark U, to help train you to understand the big story of God and how God has positioned you in his story so that your story connects with his in a way that you said, oh, that's why. And this is what he wants me to do now. See, God has a plan and a calling for you personally, and we want to help connect you to the people who have similar callings to see that passion come to be. Let me just share a couple of examples of how this has played out. There's a story of a woman named Esther. And Esther recently turned 90 years old, 90. And Esther is a prayer warrior. And Esther, when she was 80, she had a vision and a desire to learn how to read French, German, and Latin at 80. And when she was asked why she did that, why did she study and get those things? And by the way, there's lots of resources to be able to do that now. She said, I want to keep my mind sharp so I can pray with more clarity. So that's why I'm learning these other languages. I want to be sharp so I can pray better, be a better prayer warrior. Here's another story. A story of a woman named Julie. And Julie had a desire and a passion and a holy disturbance for the solution to the issue of human trafficking. Many of you know Julie. She's part of our campuses. And she started pulling some people together to talk about what could we do, this tragic issue that's not just here in our community, but it's global. But yet there's a huge trafficking problem here in the city of Buffalo. And so she now, after getting together with other people, she now leads a nonprofit ministry called PATH, People Against Trafficking Humans, right here in our own community. Someone who said, I got to be a part of the solution. And that's what's happened. Now, do you think it was easy? No. She had to take a step after step after step with a vision in mind, climbing every day with other people. Another last person, Brian. This is kind of a vision that's unfolding that I've heard about even this week for the first time. So Brian is a part of our campuses, has a passion for cars, has a passion for classic cars and tinkering with cars. And he's seeking to start a ministry by holding a fundraiser car show to help raise funds to make connections with people who like cars, to then say, what if we raise money for single moms who don't know how to even do anything with a broken down car, that we can work with mechanics and actually fund helping single moms or single parents with car issues based on our passions. Like, what an amazing idea. So we want to help you discover what that is for you. They don't have to start an organization. But what does it look like to begin something, taking that next step? And we talked about wholeness. We talked about save, heal, train, send. But I want to talk about, as we wrap up our time, talk about the send component, what that looks like for us as a church collectively. Because there's something about your personal vision, but as you combine all those visions together, and as we look at our church as a vision, where we want to go, we talked about Healing Center, we talked about Watermark U. Today with Send, let me just reveal to you where we want to go, what God is revealing to us for this next season. See, as I begin looking at this Send quadrant, if you are a follower of Jesus, as I said before, he will send you. You, sitting here in this room, as a part of South Creek, you were sent here. Many of you, from the very beginning, 5 years ago, when we started talking about this campus, there was about 100 people who said, you know, we live in this region. We attend the McKinley campus at that time, the Wesleyan Church of Hamburg, we want to come around you and send you into your community because we understand that God works best by showing his love and his grace through relationship. So we want to go to the region where you're coming from to start this campus. 4.5 years later, guess where we are? Right now, you're experiencing people who said, I'm in. God, I understand you're sending me, not just to my mission field, at my work and school every day, but physically to start a church body here in Eden, Evans, Derby, Angola. And we are here. 100 people. We average between 250 and 350 people on a given weekend. Now, numbers aren't everything, but they're an indicator that God is using you. Thank you for your faithfulness in saying, yes, I want to go. We've seen baptisms. We've seen people come to faith in Christ. We've seen lives change. We've seen marriages healed. We've seen kids growing up in the faith having calls to ministry just in our context here at this campus. And so we as a church have said, wow, this makes sense. Like, we understand that people want to do life in their communities. So let's find out across our campuses where people are coming from, and let's go to those communities just like we have set up here that you guys paved the way to do that we have done. I stepped even a little later to see what God has done, and now we're reaching this area. And so as we think about this, part of our 2020 vision is for us as a church to say, we want to do this again. Where are people coming from our campuses? And let's go to regions and communities where we can establish more campuses so we can reach more people. That's why we're here on earth, to go make disciples. And so as we think about this, over the last year, we have built a relationship, and again, just taking that next step as a church and climbing as leadership and climbing with you and talking with you, an opportunity came this last year to take over a ministry down in Springville called the Trading Post. Now, the Trading Post is basically like a Goodwill and a food pantry in one in Springville that was led by a woman who led it for years and years and years. And she got to the place where she said, man, we're ministering to so many people, supplying needs and physical needs and relational needs and spiritual needs and working with the churches down there. She said, hey, man, something going on at Watermark. And she said, we want to gift this to you as a church. So they gave us this ministry, which has about $1 million of merchandise that comes through a nonprofit that is just traded and given away that to people in need. We said, wow, this is a gift? Yes, we want to steward this gift. So we built relationships down there. And we've had this, and we're running this ministry in partnership with churches in that region in Springville. And we built a relationship with Pastor Keith Clark. Pastor Keith is a pastor of the Springville Crossing. I don't know if you've seen him or not. At some of our Christmas Eve services, he was there. Well, we built a relationship for the last, basically, 10 months now. To the point where the Trading Post launched, Keith's right around the corner, been working with us, and we got to build a relationship. I'm a great friend with him now. And to the point where he actually has sat in our preaching team writing meetings for our campuses. And for the last 10 months, he's actually been doing the same sermons that we do as a church with his congregation. And he's sharing ideas and what does it look like, regional ideas and praying together. In fact, we talk multiple times a week, and he actually refers to me as his pastor because he's by himself. He's got a congregation of about 90 people that meets in the Joyland Theater. In fact, there's some images here. And so over the last year, you can start that video, Steve. Over the last year in Springville, he's been pastoring for 9 years, but over the last year, they've been aligning with their messages and just kind of seeing who we are as a church and learning and not just getting messages, but writing with us and kind of discerning God's calling and working with the Trading Post. And they meet in the Joyland Theater right on Main Street. And it's been awesome because as they've gotten to know us, their board has said, their elders have said, man, what would it look like for us to partner with you guys and become one of your campuses in the future? To learn and grow and to be an extension of you there. We'd sacrifice who we are to become a part of what you guys are doing. This idea of wholeness, your 2020 vision, is something we don't want to miss and we want to be a part of. And so they have a full children's ministry, student ministry down there. We've been talking. I've had an opportunity to speak there when I wasn't here. Other staff have been down there to the point where they said, we want to do this. And as we climb together, we said, like, this feels like this is God's plan. And so beginning this December, we're going to be holding some meetings for you if you live in that region in Springville. Or if you know someone who lives in Springville, next year, by the fall of 2019, we are going to launch Springville Crossing, our next campus as a part of Watermark, to reach the people in Springville who do not have a church that has a vision like this, to be whole in Christ and to have God's kingdom come in that region and partner with the churches down there. And this is something that has been in the works, and we wanted to just let you know, be praying for us. What does that look like for you personally? Maybe God is calling you to go. Maybe you helped start this. You said, I know what it's like. I know what I've learned. I'd love to help. Or I live down there. Again, we want people to be at the campuses where they live closest, because that's where their community is, to tangibly love your neighbor. And so they voted unanimously, and 100 people are going to join in with, their 100 people are going to join with the 150 people that go to one of our other campuses that drive from Springville to church to say, what if we asked you to go to your, stay in your communities, and we'll come around you and bring Watermark Wesleyan and the gospel of Jesus through our campus. So we're going to be holding some meetings coming up in December, informational meetings, December 2nd and 9th, from 12:15 to 1 at our Bayview Chapel campus. You can register to be a part of those. Say, I'm interested in being a part of that. Pastor Ken, myself, and Pastor Keith are going to be doing all those trainings together as we talk after these meetings, starting in January, trainings, 9 months of preparation, just like we did for South Creek, and learning what we can to say, how can we move and climb together towards a vision? This is exciting stuff. Like, let me show you the map real quick. Steve, if you can go back. So this is the map of Western New York. All the white dots represent family units that attend one of our campuses. So as we were processing this, we looked at the cluster of Concord, that red, that's Springville. We said, that makes sense. And we have the training posters right there. So let's go there. And that's exactly how the relationship went. And then we began to pray even more so. God, where are other clusters where people come from? And we looked and we saw there's between 250 and 350 people that come to one of our campuses from East Aurora currently. And we said, what would it look like in another year beyond that? What if we start another campus in that region? That would be a Watermark campus, so that we'd have McKinley, South Creek to the west, Springville to the south, East Aurora to the east, all within 20 mile radius, all within a 15 minute, 10 mile radius, where we could reach our communities with people who already attend from our campuses to reach their communities. Just an amazing, amazing vision. Who knows after that? Looking at the other dots, what if there's something in West Seneca? What if there's something in South Buffalo? We do not want to hinder what God wants to do. Now, we want to be wise. But like any vision, it causes us to take steps of courage, to be wise, but also to move, not just be fearful and afraid. I'm going to ask the band if they would come back up as we wrap up our time. And I'm going to ask you just to close your eyes. I want to pray, as we've been talking about wholeness, and we talk about these tangible next steps as a church. Heal, or save, heal, train, send. You know, I believe that all of us, in fact, God, I'm just going to pray. God, I believe that for all of us, that we are all experiencing the foundation that was laid 60 years ago when the Wesleyan Church of Hamburg was first established. That you've been preparing us for a time such as this, to see your kingdom come in our communities. God, we believe you're not done in any campus. But we believe, just like anything that's healthy, it grows. And it grows to a point, and then it multiplies. It reproduces. And we know our McKinley campus, it's intimidating for some people, and it's big, and for whatever reason. But we want to be always a sending church, just as you sent us. We want to send people. And God, we as South Creek want to do the same. Because we understand when we give, that's when we really receive. And so, God, I pray that you give us wisdom. I thank you for what you've done here at South Creek, for helping us kind of learn and pave the way and to say, wow, God, you're using this. And I pray for each person here. May we climb so well individually so that we can be people who are whole. That's the vision. So that we can see people come to know you without hindrance in our lives. So God, we pray for each campus, McKinley, Bayview, South Creek. God, we pray for future campuses, Springville, East Aurora, South Buffalo. I don't even know if you want to do a campus in a different part of the world based on a partner that we have. I have no clue, but we don't want to limit what you have. And so we ask God, your will be done. Give us the courage and the boldness to be brave for you. Expand your kingdom by the power of your Spirit in us. In Jesus' name, amen.